Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jen.
What are you listening to this week? Welcome to What Are You Listening To? The weekly podcast created to foster community through music by sharing the stories behind the songs that soundtrack our lives. Some of the songs are old, some new. All good. I'm Jen Tully, and this week I'm joined by the host of the Veteran Rockers podcast, Mike Fox. In addition to hosting his podcast, Mike is also a voice actor, playwright, and comedian working with a comedy troupe to produce a sketch comedy album. And because all that wasn't keeping him busy enough, he also started learning to play the guitar this year. This week, Mike and I are going to get to know each other through four songs that rock. Two are his picks and two are mine. For the best listening experience, I recommend tuning into the show on Spotify. There you can hear the show with the songs we discuss incorporated. You can also find the show on Apple, Amazon Music, or wherever you stream. But if you're not listening on Spotify, be sure to give the playlist a listen and then tune into our conversation. With that, let's get started. Mike, what are you listening to this week?
I am listening to Candy by Iggy Pop, and it's a duet with Kate Pearson of the B-52. So you hear that familiar voice come in. You hear Iggy's very deep voice. It's a rainy afternoon, 1990. And then the second verse, you hear Kate come in. And the two play off each other so beautifully. And I picked the song just because it came out in 1990, and you hear Iggy Pop talking about it's a rainy afternoon, 1990. And so it's like he's talking about it's been 20 years. So yeah. It's a love song, and it's definitely a departure from what we usually would expect from Iggy Pop, especially during his time with the Stooges and the other stuff he did in the 70s and even in the 80s. So it was interesting seeing Iggy kind of wear his heart on his sleeve on this song.
Completely agree. And, you know, this was a song I was really happy to see appear on the show. And I went back through, you know, our previous three seasons and was really surprised to see that I'd never had an Iggy Pop song, never had a Stooges song, never even had a B-52 song brought to the show. So yes. It was really fun to have this where I got to kind of combine everything in one song that is such a departure from Iggy Pop. And like, what an interesting guy too. Listeners, if you're not familiar with Iggy Pop or the Stooges or sort of, you know, his story, it's such an interesting one. Everything from, you know, sort of the Stooges kind of being like the proto-punk band of our time, and his, you know, Iggy's relationship with David Bowie and sort of how that kind of transformed the both of them. Yes. And then, like you mentioned, you know, him pulling in who I sort of thought was like an unexpected surprise guest in Pearson and Kate Pearson. And then you hear them harmonize and you realize like this was no accident. Like these two sound beautiful together.
Yes, I always love those surprises in rock and roll when you see two unlikely pair together from two different, genres. I mean, I know the B-52s was alt rock and Iggy Pop is the similar, but the B-52s and Iggy Pop and the Stooges, all different sounds. But when they collaborated, when these two collaborated, it worked so beautifully. And that's why this is a song. It's kind of like a lost classic. You don't hear it play on regular run-of-the-mill classic rock stations for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what else I learned about this song that surprised me was that this song was the only Iggy Pop song to hit in the U.S. Top 40. I thought for sure like Lust for Life would be a Top 40 song, and it wasn't. This is it. This is
a wild one. Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. That surprised me a little bit about him. But, you know, I think that's another thing that you and I share in common, though, and that I think your show, Veteran Rockers, does such a great job of is we both really miss those days of like DJ hosted radio, right? When you felt like the DJ was like going through their own personal record collection and like serving up music just for you.
Yes.
And I think, you know, like kids, like my, you know, I have a 16-year-old daughter and she has no idea. She's used to satellite radio or streaming or, yes, you know, things like that. She doesn't remember the day whenever you felt like you had a really like personal relationship with the DJ and they would bring you a song like Candy. And is that kind of the inspiration behind your show? Is that like trying to get back to like a style of radio where it felt a little more personal?
That's exactly the style, because I grew up in a post-industrial town and everyone was so into sports. But the one saving grace for me was there's a radio station that is in that town that had been around since the early 60s, and they would play album cuts and deep cuts, not just the songs that you're familiar with. Because the thing is, Eric Clapton has made how many albums? But you only hear maybe five of his songs on the radio. Right. Same with Led Zeppelin, same with Queen, all these wonderful veteran rockers. So I thought, you know what, the show also, Veteran Rockers, is another inspiration for it. Is I used to watch VH1 Legends and then VH1 Behind the Music. So I thought, I want to make a podcast that kind of combines both of those type of formats, where it's like we tell the story of these artists and then we play their music. So I thought that the marriage between the two is very necessary.
Yeah, you know what's so funny is that you called out those two shows, which I love. Storytellers is an all-time favorite of mine. But I also get a lot of like pop-up video. Remember pop-up video where as you're watching it would pop up the fun facts? That's what I thought of when I was listening to your, I think it's your most recent episode about Big Country. I was this is like pop-up video where you get like the fun facts mixed in. So I love that about your show as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I miss pop-up video. I remember one time they were playing Desert Rose by Sting, and then a pop-up like cartoon cloud of thinking shows up above Sting's head and it shows a picture of Sting, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Right.
He's legendary, but you know, he's Sting, you know, so of course he would be thinking about how brilliant he is.
If I were Sting, I would be thinking about how brilliant I was all the time. Or Stuart Copeland, or anybody in the Police for that matter.
yeah Andy Summers too. I heard he's out on tour now, you know, so that all three of those guys were brilliant.
All right, well, tell me about your second pick. This is a little bit of a departure from where we start with Candy, so tell me about your second song. What's the name of your second pick and who's it by?
The next song is called Come On Down, and it's by Nick Kershaw, who over here in the States, most people may know him for the song Wouldn't It Be Good, which came out in the early 80s off of his debut album, Human Racing. He made about four albums during the 80s that made him a lot of money, and that song, as well as other songs like I Won't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, were well known. And then you have a second part of his career where he was kind of like a fringe artist in a way. Even though he was a veteran rocker, he made stuff that was a little more bare bones and more personal, starting in 1999 up until now. And it has done well, maybe better over in the UK. But when I listen to it, I'm like, this is amazing music, his newer stuff. So this song is off of a compilation album he made called Songs from the Shelf Part 1, because between 1989, when he departed from pop music, he went into working kind of behind the scenes. He helped produce, he helped write songs. So between 89 and 98, he took a step back from being a pop star. And so he was writing and producing for other artists. But these songs that he had made, he had kind of shelved them. And the first song, when I put this on, it's a song called Come On Down, I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, and even though this is a compilation EP, it plays like a regular album, but it fills the gap between the 80s Kershaw and the late 90s to 2000s up until today, Nick Kershaw, which are almost like two different artists because so much happened. But this fills the gap, and this song is absolutely amazing. And I absolutely love it. It's my favorite song off of that Songs from the Shelf EP.
Yeah, this song is now, this is so interesting. And I say this because I think it's to illustrate just how vast the music verse is and why I'll never get tired of talking about it. So this was a new song for me and a new artist. I'm entrenched in music every single day. I listen, you know, I posted my Spotify Wrapped. You can see the thousands of hours I spend listening to music in a year. And this is an artist that I had never really stumbled upon. Like some of the songs, once I went back and looked at some of the songs, I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh, I knew that, but I never really dug in. And so like for listeners, I always like to simplify, not simplify for the listeners, but like boil everything down to comparison. Like seems to be a way for me to do that. Like translate what's in my head to a way that'll make sense to the listeners. And this song in particular reminded me of like a British Wilco, right? Like this could have just as easily been like a Jeff Tweedy song to me. Like it was that deep, that meaningful, that full of just like one-liners that hit you hard. It's just filled with beautiful, thought-provoking lyrics, which my favorite being, "You don't know where you are and don't know why. Then a one in a million chance walks on by. But luck is a ladies' man. He screws around." I was like, whoa, that hits hard. That's such a good lyric.
It is such a great lyric. And I found out that he had written the lyrics for this song in February of 1991. He originally called the song "Life is a Game Show." So he was exploring that theme, and he even said in begin quote, "I'm guessing it was consigned to the shelf due to it sounding a bit like big hair 80s rock that was most unacceptable at the beginning of the 1990s.
True.
So last decade," end quote.
Yeah, it's so well. And I think that this is, you know, the lyrics to this song are great. Musically, it's so strong. It's just comforting. Like when I listen to it, I'm like, oh, this song just feels like a hug or a warm blanket, you know? And it really drives home that point too. I love that it used to be called "Life is a Game Show" because it does play with that. And that's what it made me think of, you know, that it was like a beautiful way of saying, you know, the old adage of you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, you know, like this song is like, you've got to get out there. And just because, and I think that it even furthers that idea in saying that, like, yes, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And just because you take the shot doesn't mean you'll score, and you should still take it, right?
Exactly. Like, I feel it's an anti isolation song because he's just basically saying everybody's here, so come on down, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's waiting for you. So it's like an anti-isolation song in a way too. So there's so much tied into it. You know, you got the game show theme, but you also got like, hey, one in a million shots, you got to give it a shot. You know, don't be discouraged. So and that's a common theme in a lot of his more contemporary songs. So that's why I love this artist. I love Nick. He's amazing.
I do too. I've been, ever since you sent it over, I've been digging a little bit deeper into his music, and it's really worth checking out. And, you know, I think that this song too, the note that I wrote, was that this is a song of endless possibility and unknowable conclusions, right? Like that's kind of what it left me with at the end.
I definitely feel that too.
So good. Well, now we're going to transition into my picks, where I will start us off with one of my, this is a, you know, a top 10 song for me, a desert island song for me, whatever, wherever you want to file it as important music. It's a song called "Within Your Reach" by The Replacements.
Oh yes. That's a great one. I love the guitars that come in. It's very eclectic in a way, but then it brings you in though, you know, it's, you'll get absorbed.
Right. It's inviting. And I think that like The Replacements, I love Paul Westerberg. I love The Replacements. I love Paul Westerberg solo. They've always been a favorite of mine. And this song for me is just one of their most brilliant works as a band. It's off their Hootenanny album from 1983. And it's amazing to me when I listen to this song still that it's from 1983. That's a 40-year-old song at this point. And I think it still sounds so fresh.
It does sound current. It definitely does sound current. Yeah.
some of the stuff, especially from 83, you know, when I'm thinking of bands that were big in 83, I'm like, you can listen to their music and it sounds firmly like the 80s, like it lives in that decade. And I think yes. You can pull this song out and I could play it for a group of teenagers right now and they would have a hard time discerning that this was a song from the 80s, I think.
Yes, because of it, it's very raw, you know, and it's guitar driven. You don't hear any synths, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you do get some great lyrics in this one, too. I love the way the song opens. It says, I can live without so much. I can die without a clue. Sun keeps rising in the west. I keep on waking fully confused. Right?
Oh, like man.
That really kind of sums up a whole lot of days for me.
Yes, all of us.
And, you know, the Replacements are one of those bands that, you know, we were kind of talking about with Iggy Pop. Like you have to kind of go deep to get into the Replacements. Like they're not a mainstream radio airplay band.
But they're
definitely worth your time. Like definitely if you've not explored the Replacements catalog, I say they're worth checking into.
Yes, they are definitely worth it. You got me hooked, honestly.
Yay!
Yeah. They did have a reunion in the 2012 to 2015, am I correct?
They did. I actually got to see them twice when they got together. I got to see them in New York City and actually in Queens. And then I got to see them at Austin City Limits Music Festival that same year. So it was a real treat for me. Yeah, wow. To see them live. Like they're just as dynamic as ever and, you know, crazy antics, like for sure. If you ever get a chance to check out the Replacements live, I say do it and don't even think twice about it.
Yes.
Well, to round out our playlist today, we're picking a classic that I just can't believe has taken three seasons to make an appearance on the show. But this is the song that started my love for Led Zeppelin, a song called Fool in the Rain from their In Through the Outdoor album.
Oh, yes. This was towards the end of their career. Was this their final album?
This was the last album. Yeah, this was the last studio album. Zeppelin, you know, unfortunately, we lost the great John Bonham in 1980. So right after. And that's partially like twofold why I chose this song. One is, like I said, it came out in 1979. I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And this song is the song I remember hearing and being like turned around. As a little kid, you know, hearing this song and thinking, well, wait a minute, how are they doing this really like repetitive, catchy song that you get into and you think you know exactly what it's about? And then halfway through, a whistle blows and they're off on this crazy like calypso tangent, right? And I just remember as a kid thinking like, wait a minute, I didn't know music could do that, you know? And from there, Led Zeppelin has been part of my heart and soul and will continue to be until the end of time. Like it showed me how creative and freeing and magical music can be. And it was all tied up into this one song for me as a young person.
Yeah. And wasn't this inspired by like samba beats that Robert Plant and John Paul Jones, they saw at the FIFA World Cup in Argentina?
Yes, there's a lot, you know, there's a whole lot. They had influences, you know, from all over the world and their travels and literature. You know, that's another great thing about Zeppelin is like all the Easter eggs. You know, they were doing Easter eggs like well before Taylor Swift was supplying them for us. You know, whether it's like the Tolkien references or, you know, the symbols that they came up with, you know, for each member of the band. But, you know, I said that the song was kind of a twofold song for me. One is because it was the song that introduced me to Zeppelin. And two is I think that it is one of the greatest like drum songs ever. And, you know, people that love to talk rock, especially veteran rockers, will spend endless hours, you know, arguing about who's the best drummer, who's the best guitarist, who's the best frontman, you know, endlessly. And I always stand firmly in the John Bonham camp, not to disrespect, you know, Neil Peart or Dave Grohl or Sheila E. or like any of the other amazing drummers out there. But for me, John Bonham is always going to be number one drummer. And I think if you want to fight me on it, listen to this song.
Yeah, it is a great song. It was definitely a great choice.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like really to, I think that lyrically as well, again, Zeppelin tends to get really deep and sometimes go off on these literary tangents. And
yes,
this is a song,
Vikings.
Right, all kinds of things. And this one feels just like a straightforward, fun song, you know, like it's a story we can all relate to. And it's sort of, I always say it's like the lighter side of Zeppelin, right?
It is. Yeah. I definitely saw their later stuff in the late 70s definitely got a little bit lighter and was less about different symbolism, less obscure stuff
right.
that you really had to read literature to understand. Here, there was just like they were giving you something that was eclectic, but also straightforward rock at the same time.
Yeah, and kind of like ushering into the 80s, you know, and sort of where you see Robert Plant's solo career go after this, you know, with
yes.
the Honey Drippers and things like that. So it was definitely that In Through the Outdoor album, I think, is, you know, not given much credit in the Led
it's
Zeppelin
not.
Catalog. No. And I think it's worth a listen. You know, you do have great songs on there. Southbound Soiree is on there, like so
yes.
many other good songs on the In Through the Outdoor album. So if you've not gone back and put that in your Zeppelin rotation, listeners, I'm encouraging you to do so.
Yes. I love Robert Plant's voice. You know, I'd even like the stuff he did in the 80s and even in the early 90s, you know, with Fate of Nations. You know, he just has that amazing voice. And it's like Plant and Page, it's just like Jagger and Richards. You know, it's just a combo
yeah.
that you can't really, you know, compete with.
It's true. It's true. And just him as a front man, you know, again, like he was like David Lee Roth before David Lee Roth, right? Like
Totally.
And both are genius. Like, I'm not saying David Lee Roth is not amazing, but I think that it's hard to have a David Lee Roth without a Robert Plant, right?
I'm sure I never heard Roth give him props, but maybe he has. I haven't seen every David Lee Roth interview, but I'm sure that was one of his inspirations.
Yeah,
for
had to be
to becoming into rock and roll, since it was only 8 years or 9 years after the first Led Zeppelin album dropped that the first Van Halen album was released.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you so much for sharing what you're listening to this week. This has been a fun episode where we got to just kind of dig into the good old days of radio that
Absolutely.
We both miss and are trying in our own small way to bring back.
We got to. And I really hope it's not just, you know, the baby boomers and Gen Xers that come on board, but it'd be great if we could just get the newer generation on board to be like, hey, I never knew about this.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's just so much access right now too, right? Like kids have so much access to music and old shows and things like that, that I think it's got to come around. It's got to come around to being sort of a personal connection again, and not just sort of this pre-programmed radio that is kind of ruling the day right now. So I'm hopeful that if we keep on keeping on, we're gonna bring it back to the more personal days of music sharing.
I think we can. I really do. I'm optimistic.
Well, listeners, if you'd like to check out Mike's Veteran Rockers podcast, it's available exclusively on Spotify. Just search Veteran Rockers and you'll be able to hear all of his episodes, which I highly recommend. And as always, please be sure to follow, download, and share this show. And if you love listening, drop us a review on Apple or Spotify. Last but not least, to stay informed on all things Super Awesome Mix and What Are You Listening To? Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Super Awesome Mix. Thanks for listening, and please join me again next week to find your new favorite song.